Gotram Tvadiyam Bhagavan Vrishadvajo. Jakshaya Nityahaya Dasadurmanaha. Vyapetarnarma Smitamasudadaham. Vyutsraksha etat kunapam tvadangajam. Gotram, family relationship. Tvadiyam, your Bhagavan, the possessor of all opulences. Vrishadvajaha, Lord Shiva. Dakshayani, Dakshayani, the daughter of Daksha. Iti, thus, aha, calls, yada, when, sudurmanaha, very morose, vyapeta, disappear, naramasmitam, my jolliness and smile, ashu, immediately, tada, then, aham, I, vyutsrakshe, I shall give up, etat, this body, kunapam, dead body, tvat angajam, produced from your body. Because of our family relationship, when Lord Shiva addresses me as Dakshayani, I at once become morose, and my jolliness and my smile at once disappear. I feel very much sorry that my body, which is just like a bag, has been produced by you. I shall therefore give it up. Purport. The word Dakshayani means the daughter of King Daksha. Sometimes when there was relaxed conversation between husband and wife, Lord Shiva used to call Sati the daughter of King Daksha. And because this very word reminded her about her family relationship with King Daksha, she at once became ashamed because Daksha was an incarnation of all offences. Daksha was the embodiment of envy, for he unnecessarily blasphemed a great personality, Lord Shiva. Simply, upon hearing the word Dakshayani, she felt afflicted because of reference to the context, because her body was the symbol of all the offensiveness with which Daksha was endowed. Since her body was constantly a source of unhappiness, she decided to give it up. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Yananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stampitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pankum Lankayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So, Sati means chaste. And in this case, demonstrated by her affection for her husband, Lord Shiva, who we previously heard is the topmost, he's the top devotee. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. What? And because of that, affection for her husband and appreciation of her husband as a great devotee, she was, or she is here, feeling afflicted, conflicted. She's feeling the conflict. Because of the offensive nature of her father. Now, ordinarily, a daughter would feel affection for her father. That's a natural relationship. The child feels affection for their parents. And Sati is showing a degree of affection for her father also. But she's showing symptoms of disappointment and dissatisfaction. Right? Because even though there's a natural sense of dependency and appreciation and affection for the father, Sati's affection for her father is characterized by disappointment and frustration. Well, not necessarily frustration, but she's been let down by her father. Disgust. Yeah, it's a bit strong. But yes, disgust. She's been disappointed by the behaviour of her father. And as a consequence of her father's behaviour, then she feels the contamination. She's feeling the contamination of his offensiveness. So even though her husband is jokingly calling her Dakshayani, she becomes morose here. Durmanaha, right? Bad-minded, basically. That's what that means. Durmanaha. And here's another word here. Maramasmitam. Her natural her natural jolliness and smile, smitam, marama smitam. So her naturally mannered, well-disposed, her disposition is disturbed when she thinks of her relationship with her father. And you know, the natural tendency of a child is to be respectful and feel protected in the association of one's parents. One feels sheltered. No? This is a natural feeling. But she's not feeling sheltered at all. She's feeling abused, right? Neglected, because Daksha was being offensive to her husband, and he's a great devotee. She's not getting upset just because Lord Shiva is her husband, but upset because Lord Shiva is her husband and he's a great devotee, and so therefore should be honoured and respected as such. The first offence in chanting Hare Krishna is to blaspheme the devotees. This is the worst offence, the hati mata, the mad elephant offence. If you want to disrupt your spiritual life, then criticize the devotees. There are people who make a livelihood, or not a livelihood, but there are people who go out of their way to find faults in the devotees out of envy. And this is the problem with Daksha. Lord Shiva is respected by everyone. Yet, from the external point of view, Lord Shiva is associating with a low class crowd, you could say. Now, that's a measure of his compassion. He's the master of the tamagun, and which is a service that he accepts on behalf of he's one of the guna avatars. So special, very, very special personality, and very merciful to those who almost don't deserve mercy. And we see that, you know, this is not uncommon. This is not uncommon that the devotees are criticized for being merciful to others. Right? You know, people would say, oh, why do you let all of these crazy people come to the temple and, you know, pollute the place? Or, you know, why do you let all of the, why are you only cultivating all of these Indians? They'll criticize. Because, you know, we see everybody from the spiritual point of view, and regardless of their motivation or their means of support or whatever, we encourage everybody. You encourage the Indians because you only want their money, right? I don't know why we encourage the poor, if you like. We just get criticized because they're unclean and sometimes they create a bit of a disturbance. So, devotees have to get used to the fact that we'll be criticized. Whatever you do, there's every chance you'll get criticized for. Because people are not able to see the internal, we discussed this yesterday, the internal mood or the motivation And somebody like Daksha is critical of Lord Shiva simply observing the external symptoms and not appreciating that Lord Shiva is honored and respected even by Lord Vishnu and the other demigods. He appears to be a niggardly kind of a character because his dreadlocks and ashes and so forth. You've heard the saying, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover. Right? You can't judge a book by its cover. I remember when I was 8, 9, 10, maybe even younger, my father used to take us. We used to go, because we didn't have any television, so we would read books. So we'd go to the library every Tuesday night to pick new books. And I'd always be asking my dad, I don't know what book to choose. And my father would show me a book and say, here, this is a good book. And I'd look at the cover and say, oh, no, I don't like that. So, you can't really tell the quality of a book unless you actually read it. Are able to read it. And that goes for understanding devotees. One has to be careful of judging a personality just by their external presentation. One has to be expert in appreciating the motivation, the mood, the internal mood of of anybody, really. Rupa Goswami recommends that we use our power of discrimination. And that power of discrimination is focused on the internal characteristics of a devotee. What is it? Oh, and some external characteristics, but those external characteristics also are an indication of the internal. Krishneti yasya giritam manasa triyeta. Right, so a person who chants Krishna's name it should be respected. Manasa triyeta, with the mind at least. If somebody's chanting Hare Krishna, then they're considered to be the best of all people, or of amongst men. It's manushyanam sahasreshu kaschidya titi siddhaya yatatam api siddhanam kaschintam veti. What is that? Mam veti? Tatvataha. In truth, right? It's rare to find somebody who understands and appreciates the human form of life and then takes advantage of it. Right? There's one thing to appreciate it, but then to actually do something about it. And that is to understand one's spiritual identity and to act on that platform of spiritual identity. That's advanced. Even more advanced is to act on that platform for the benefit of others, to help awaken their realization of their spiritual identity. So, one is encouraged to discriminate between the Kanishta Adhikari, Majjhama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. In other words, a beginner, or a neophyte, a intermediate, or a devotee making progress, and a Uttama, topmost advanced devotee. Rupa Goswami mentions that the characteristic of the topmost devotee is that they don't criticize others. And now that doesn't mean that they don't see the faults. Right? Doesn't mean they're not able to see the faults. But they're looking for the positive qualities in a person, and especially in a devotee. Because if somebody's chanting Hare Krishna, then in due course of time, they'll become perfect. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag sadure vyasamanta vyasamyaki vyavasato hisaha. One who's on the path of perfection will gradually make progress. So rather than look at, and you can see that with Srila Prabhupada, in his preaching, he had to work with some fairly unsavory characters. On the Bowery, he was living with, David, and he just went crazy one day, right? Too much LSD and drugs. Yet, a few months before, Prabhupada was writing to his godbrothers and saying how he was, a devotee, and how he was, one of the first devotees. So, you can see Prabhupada in action, where he was dealing with all people from all sorts of backgrounds, and encouraging whatever interest or whatever inclination they had towards serving Krishna, despite the fact that they were an ocean of faults, pretty much. And even in somebody perfect, like Srila Prabhupada, people will find faults. And we see here, Lord Shiva, very magnanimous, very merciful, encourages even the fallen Buddhas, right? The Pretas and the Buddhas. And so Daksha's quick to criticize him. Based on just really looking at the externals more than anything. Seeing that Lord Shiva is being respected by all of the other demigods and Lord Vishnu, and yet he's just associating with all of the hobgoblins. And Prabhupada was criticized by his godbrothers. Why are you associating with all of these hippies? Without appreciating the deep internalization of Krishna consciousness and the spiritual vision. And not only that, the faith, Prabhupada had such strong, firm faith in the chanting of Hare Krishna. Right? That anybody who takes up the chanting of Hare Krishna will gradually be elevated to the topmost position and will acquire all of the qualities of the demigods. This is the Shastric references. Well, so Sati is meditating on her connection with her father. Although, in one sense, that's not it's of little consequence. Although, any kind of association will have its effect, will have its influence. But she was deeply, deeply disturbed and embarrassed by her connection with her father on that bodily platform, such that she was so renounced she's prepared to give up her body. That's pretty detached. This body's been given to me by my offensive father, and I'm going to give it up. Ooh. Why? And Prabhupada mentions here, Daksha was the embodiment of envy. an incarnation of all offences. So that was so disturbing for her. And she's so detached from the body. Her body was, due to his connection with Daksha, a reminder of all of his offences. Now, ordinarily, we appreciate the body and our parents because it's an opportunity to make spiritual progress. But here, she's thinking, he's such an offensive rascal, this is only going to be the cause of my degradation. Right? This is how serious the offence, sadhu ninda, right? Criticise the sadhus. And sadhu, in our definition, sadhu means one who has dedicated their lives for preaching, right? As a sadhu. Although sadhu is also somebody who's dedicated to self-realization. But in Kali Yuga, our definition is somewhat different. In that, if one wants to make advancement in spiritual life, then one is recommended to meditate on the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, there is no one more dear to me than that person who distributes transcendental knowledge to the devotees so that they can make progress. So we'll make progress when we help others make progress. Kanishtha Adhikari generally somewhat selfish. And so they're concerned about their own spiritual progress. Because they already think that they're the most advanced anyway, but and that their spiritual practice is superior to everybody else's. This is a Kanishtha Adhikari. But a Madhyam Adhikari, and so the Kanishtha Adhikari, and so Daksha is actually a devotee, but he's a Kanishtha Bhakta, in that he thinks he's the best, right? And that everybody should be worshipping him. This is, I'm the best, and so therefore you should be treating me, respecting me because of my exalted character, right? And so, unfortunately, within the character of a Kanishtha Adhikari, there's some pride. Like we see in Daksha, proud. And because of that pride, and because of that somewhat, full of themselves and their elevated position, when I see somebody else being recognized, when we see somebody else being recognized and honored and worshipped, we get envious. Or Daksha got envious. Huh? And then criticized the inability to see the good qualities in others. Brings about this need or this propensity to criticize others who are advanced because of the envy. Whereas a Madhyam Adhikari is concerned about the welfare of everybody and is able to honor and respect all of the devotees. Not, I'm very advanced, I've been around here longer than all of you, and so therefore you should respect me. It's good for you. Huh? One need not demand respect. Rather, one should command respect. Right? One naturally will. An advanced, just like Haridas Thakur, even though he was born as a Muslim. which would ordinarily mean that he's shunned by mainstream Hindu culture, right? But because Haridas Thakur exhibited the character, the qualifications of a Vaishnava, and so therefore had all of the good qualities of a Brahmana, therefore he was given that respect. And of course, Ramchandra Khan couldn't tolerate the fact. He wanted the respect. He's thinking, I'm very exalted. I'm the tax collector, right? So everybody should worship me. But they were worshipping Haridas Thakur instead. So it's intolerable for Ramchandra Khan. He wanted to be respected by everybody, but they hated him because he's a tax collector. Who likes a tax collector? Huh? Nobody. And you know, they all knew that he was putting money in his back pocket, for which he got caught out later. So, Kanishtha Adhikari tends to think of themselves as the most advanced, and finds difficulty in worshipping or respecting others because they want the respect for themselves. Whereas Majjhima Adhikari appreciates others who are making spiritual progress and wants to associate with them. Therefore, they make friends with the devotees. They don't criticize them, but they make friends with them. If you want to alienate yourself from others, what do you do? What's a good way to alienate people? Criticize them. Find fault in them. Rather than look for the good. You'll have many friends if you can find the good in others. Huh? If all you can do is see their faults, you won't have any friends. You can't. They're not good enough. So the Madhyama Adhikari makes friends with the devotees, worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and seeks out the association of like-minded people so that they can make progress together. And look for the innocent. Avoid the asuras, the demons. So, you know, very disturbing for Sati that she discovers my dad's a demon. Right? We all came to that realization some time ago. It's not a shock for us. But it's a surprise for her because Daksha is such an elevated personality. He shouldn't have that envy in his heart. And it's a warning because, you know, wealth, influence, followers, whilst a devotee will accumulate these things naturally, they're actually dangerous. That they can be a source of pride. So, you know, Daksha's, he's an accomplished progenitor. He's expert at procreation. So there's a warning here. His material prosperity, his material advancement actually ended up being his downfall. His dexterity. Whereas what's required is actually a very deep and a deep conviction of seva, sevaya, was it? Pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya, service attitude to everybody. Service to Krishna is actually only arrived at by service to the devotees. We get service to Krishna by the mercy of the devotees. And any form of service is like it's like adhesive. Any form of service is like adhesive that helps us stick to Krishna. Even just a little thing, a little service, is beneficial. You know, there's that story. I don't know why it comes to my mind now, but there was a story I don't know the full details of the story, but it was a couple who were somewhat infatuated with each other. They wanted to enjoy the conjugal rasa, and they were looking for a place, a sheltered place, and they came across a building which had been a temple previously, and they cleaned it. They cleaned it so that they could enjoy. So that's just some material motivation, obviously. But because they cleaned the temple, then they got the spiritual benefit of that. So at some point later on, when it was time to leave their body, they got some emancipation. So just a little bit of service. We don't appreciate how powerful that is. And that's the mood of a devotee. The underlying motivation of Lord Shiva is, let me render service to the fallen souls. And we see that in Prabhupada. Let me render service to the devotees. They're not even devotees yet, basically. They're covered over completely. But by that mood of rendering service, preaching the Bhagavad Gita, giving others an opportunity to serve Krishna, that's mercy. And if we're able to do that, then we cultivate the internal qualities. Even if we're only imitating, or even if we're doing it in a half-hearted manner, we still get benefit from that. Whereas, you know, somebody like Daksha, or sometimes we in an immature state of Krishna consciousness think, you know, I'm more advanced and people should be rendering service to me. They'll get benefit by serving me. But we get benefit by serving others. So we should appreciate and take advantage of the opportunities for service, because that's what we'll get from associating with the devotees. This is why we avoid the association of the devotees sometimes, because they'll tell us what they'll ask us to do something. But that's a great opportunity. That and that's the mood, that's the underlying mood of a devotee. I'm a dasosmi, I'm a servant, not, you know, aham ishwaraham, aham bogi. Right? I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. And this is very, very basic Bhagavad Gita philosophy. You know, it's not very complicated. Although not necessarily easy to practice or to perform. And we're seeing the humility of Sati here in that she's a servant of the greatest devotee. And when she sees that servant of Krishna being criticized by a father, then she wants to give up any connection. This is this critical mentality. The critical mentality of a devotee is to be avoided at all costs. Otherwise, it can be our downfall. If we hear the criticism of Vaishnavas. People will criticize Prabhupada, and Prabhupada says, you know, you can find fault in anyone, even Krishna. Right? So that mood or that characteristic is fairly common. It's common. It's everywhere. And even in the association of the devotees. But Prabhupada says that envy has to be kicked out of the society of devotees. And we'll see it. People will be honoured and respected. Even we will be in due course of time. But we shouldn't be anemic. We shouldn't resent that or devalue the honour and respect given to others. Of course, it should be correctly placed, properly placed. And we shouldn't want it for ourselves either, for that matter. But that's what happens. We want it for ourselves, somebody else gets it, and then we think, why them? Why not me? Huh? So we have to be very careful about that mood or that mentality creeping into our devotional service. We do our service to please Prabhupada and to please Krishna. And whether others appreciate it or not, And we see with Haridas Thakur, he didn't mind that he wasn't being honoured and respected, even though he was due that honour and respect. He himself didn't mind. In fact, as Priti mentioned yesterday in class, he felt that he deserved the beatings, right? In 22 marketplaces, because he tolerated the offence or the criticism of the Lord. So one has to be careful about maintaining an attachment to material things and envying others who have material apparently. facility given by Krishna. As is exemplified here by Daksha, he's the embodiment of envy and the incarnation of all offences. But we need to cultivate that service mood and be prepared to serve everybody. And that's, you know, we see that was Prabhupada's mood. And what attracted so many people to Krishna consciousness I remember when I first came to the temple and the devotees invited me to take prasadam, and I was impressed, you know, attracted to that. Here, sit down. What would you like? You know, that was a very powerful experience. Welcome with a smile. Sit down. Here, take prasadam. That attention to detail and that welcome, it's actually called friendship. It's not very complicated. Tadati pratigrinati guyamakyati prichati bunkte bhojayate jaiva. This is simple. It's very simple. But with that mood of sharing or exchange without material consideration, is symptomatic of bhakti. And of course bhakti is very powerful. When those exchanges are experienced with the devotees, then it changes the hearts of others very powerfully. So you know, how do we demonstrate those symptoms by sharing what we have here, basically. Keeping the temple clean, and then we share that environment, but we give that to others, and it's like, woo, that's powerful. That impacts on people's consciousness in significant ways. This is all it's on a level that Daksha is not able to appreciate. And not many people are actually able to appreciate. They sense it, but they can't articulate they can't work out what's going on. But it's very powerful, because these are symptoms of bhakti, sharing, giving and receiving, revealing one's mind, inquiring, giving gifts, giving prasad. Well, the greatest gift. Huh? That was the irony of 26 Second Avenue. The storefront had the sign, matchless gifts. Huh? So Prabhupada was giving all of these gifts that couldn't be matched by anybody else. And that's what we're supposed to be doing too. Without the mood of envy. But rather just mood of a servant. Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions on these points? Clean your teeth. Shave. You asked. Wear fresh tilak. You know, have a shower in the morning, put tilak on. Wear clean clothes. Prabhupada says, first dress, then address. Right. So there is a there is a standard of Vaishnav dress that Prabhupada encouraged us to embrace. It's fairly simple. Prabhupada says, you know, one fashion suits all. So basically cleanliness, keeping ourselves clean. Clean your teeth, clean your tongue. Have a shower. Put on clean clothes whenever you dress. And wear tilak. That's our standard of presentation. That's our balance. Huh? If you're going to work, wear tilak. So Prabhupada, this is what Prabhupada says. And have a seeker. This is our balance. It's not hard. Not hard to do. But, and this is why preaching, you know, really is the measure of a devotee in many respects, because it means we have to, you know, be identified as a devotee, as a follower of Krishna, follower of Srila Prabhupada. And all of the criticism that might entail, you're Hare Krishna or whatever, or you believe in God, what's wrong with you? Not very popular these days. So these little things, wearing tilak, you know, that'll invite criticism. Straight away you'll be criticised. Or people look at you, whoa, look at that weirdo. Huh? That guy's weird. He's a Hare Krishna. Huh? What a simpleton. He's a simpleton. He believes in God. How old-fashioned. Huh? Or whatever. How's that sound? Easy, huh? Not complicated, not difficult. Anything else? You know, I thought that I could be a Hare Krishna but keep my long hair. So, you know, if you shave your head, you'll become unpopular. People won't like you or whatever. Huh? But I haven't actually discovered it. I haven't found it to be a drawback or it hasn't set me back in any way. Huh? I still got a car I can drive around in. I've got clothes to wear. I've got a house I can live in. I travel around the world. People think, oh, wow, you've got a good lifestyle. And I got a bald head. and I wear tilak. Huh? So I never suffered any material setbacks from being a bald-headed Hare Krishna. In fact, people say, oh, you're really, that's cool. How long have you been doing that for? And I tell them, I say, oh, wow, that's cool. So it's funny, isn't it? You know, we think, oh, if I shave my head and I put tilak on, then, ooh, what are people going to think about me? I might not make any progress in life. Right? And they're going to think I'm weird. Well, some people do, but others don't. They appreciate it. And in fact, they honour, they respect. They respect it. Srila Prabhupada was struggling for many, many years. But he didn't give up any of his principles. And then, you know, in due course of time, he was astoundingly successful. So from a material point of view, you know, we measure this from a material point of view, but actually that's not the measurement. The measurement is from the spiritual point of view. That's where we get the benefit. Then, as Prabhupada points out, if you make spiritual progress, then automatically the material things will come anyway without extra endeavor. They come anyway. And in the beginning, there may be some struggle, you know, a mental struggle or even physical struggle. No, there will be. Because life in the material world means struggle, right? Mana sastan indriyani, prakriti stan karshati. We're in a material world, and so therefore, you know, material world equals struggle. They can't get rid of it. But in devotional service, there's struggle, but you make spiritual advancement and you'll also get material benefits. That's just, that comes. There'll be a different type of struggle, and sometimes that struggle will be immensely challenging. But all the while one's making spiritual advancement, and material prosperity will come in due course anyway. Just that's natural. By any endeavor, any constant endeavor in the material world will give you some material benefits. But if we only struggle for material benefits, we may get some benefits which will be taken away. No spiritual advancement. But if we concentrate on the spiritual progress, we'll get spiritual advancement and we'll also get the benefits that would automatically accrue to anybody else. Well, so we shouldn't think, you know, become a Hare Krishna, then I lose out. No, we get... And the balance is pretty easy when you think about it. Get up early in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, glorify Krishna, and you know, these are other external things. Shave your head, shave your face, put tilak on, wear robes. You don't even have to do that, actually. It's not very hard, is it?
Shaving is hard.
No, he's just got to do it in the morning. No, Prabhupada says that, you know, men, women and men will think themselves handsome because they've got the hair. Ooh, wow, look at him, he's pretty cool. Nice beard, Prabhu. But how long does it last? And see, the interesting thing is that we can cover ourselves with so many material coverings to make a show, but if we're clean shaven, and then it's just our natural personality that comes through. And actually, you know, if you want to look 10 years younger, shave up. Seriously, when you get to my age, you appreciate it. I shave up and I look in the mirror and I think, oh, wow. Yes. I look like I was when I was 23. So it's pretty simple. Simple for the simple. Okay, let's have breakfast. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai.